You ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir, I've never been up in a plane before.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Beer! That's what I need!
Would you rather have beer or complete and utter contentment?
All my friends know the low rider.
What kind of beer?
The low rider is a little higher.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. Now don't call me Shirley.
Welcome to Big Foamy Head Holiday Beer Show.
And we've got a bunch of holiday beers at a couple of holiday beer holiday parties.
See,
there was a beer involved.
Mucho beer-o.
And Rick, you sent us a beer, and which we're drinking while we're talking about this. This is a beer we didn't have at the party, but is one that you thought would be good for us to enjoy and have our own little private party here. What are we drinking?
Brasserie de Rox. It's a Grand Cru out of Belgium. It had 100 on ratebeer.com, and actually the liquor store I bought this from, they were promoting that fact, so I thought that was interesting that rate beer is being used to advertise beers.
Oh, like they're sticking it like the liquor stores do with wine things and sticking it on
a bit? Yeah, actually, they put the rate beer rating out there.
Oh, man, they're pimping out like crazy.
Hey, Rick, you should have seen Dick's face when he took his first sip.
Yeah.
I thought he had a beer gasm there for a minute.
I did. I shook a little bit.
It's beautiful.
I need a cigarette.
It's kind of like a copper color and maybe a quarter to an eighth of an inch head.
Yeah.
It's lacing very nicely in the glass. I've got very fine bubbles coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is just smooth.
It is.
And it's not a filtered beer. It said that on the marketing propaganda. It's not a filtered beer. And I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly okay. It's creamy. That's a good word for this. It is a creamy. It's not thick tasting, but has body, I'd say. It's, man, you feel like you're almost eating something. But I kind of went blind in one eye when I...
You should have seen him. He was twitching after the first sip.
I shook a little and one eye closed all by itself. It's got a little subtle punch in the head to it. It's 9.5% alcohol.
Yeah, you can taste the alcohol just a little bit, a little sweetness in it. But like you said, Rick, real creamy, smooth, goes down good.
I'm getting some coriander or some maybe even a little clove. I mean, spices, but deep kind of, not like, your typical Belgian's got that same sort of spice taste. It's like a deeper spice notes. It's good stuff.
Now, Mike and I were looking at this on the Rate Beer site, and it says Abbé des Rox Grand Cru. I'm sure I slaughtered that. But
yes,
the bottle
yes,
I'm looking
did.
At says Brasserie des Rox.
I can
so,
say
Dick,
what?
You did some internet investigation. What did you find out?
I did. On the distributor site, it says Brasserie des Rox, formerly known as Brasserie de l'Abbé des Rox. This brewery was founded in 1979, so it's not very old, in a small village, Montigny-sur-Roc, in Hainaut province, between Mons, Belgium, and Valenciennes, France. Brewery is located only a few hundred yards from the 12th century Abbey farm that gave their original name, Abbé des Rox. And, that's all my French that I took in high school come back to haunt me.
They might have been sued because you're not really supposed to promote yourself as an abbey unless you really are an abbey.
So. Yeah, and they're near an abbey.
Yeah.
So, they make a fine beer, and apparently they make several of them, all of them high alcohol. The amber blanche double white beer, 6%. That's their lowest one. Their blonde is 7.5, their brown 9%, and their Grand Cru, which we're enjoying, 9.5 or 10, depending on which year you got it, because they have on, what are you looking at, Rate Beer or Beer Advocate?
I'm on Hedonist Beer Jive right now, and they got it at 10%.
Yeah, I think that's the 720 bottle or so. So I think depending on the year, and we've got a 12-ounce, which honestly, this is plenty good enough. That's a very good. Thank you, Rick, for sending us.
This guy says that the Grand Cru designation is kind of reserved for champagne.
We covered that a few show backs about there is a a Grand Cru. Rick, what was it we had determined that this was something that they're the brewer's designation is their best of the lot.
Okay.
Or their, right. And yeah. That's all it means. And
yes,
it isn't necessarily a beer style. It's just this is the best. I don't know what the translation for the word crew is, but the best harvest, the best pickings, the best beer, you know.
Yeah. Well, it says here that he's seeing it on more and more Abbey-style beers.
Why
from different manufacturers.
But I don't think it's limited to Abbey style. I think it's just something that people pick up and put on as like, well, this is something really, really good, and we call this a Grand Cru.
So they gave it an 8 out of 10 on a scale of 10. So he says here, I can just see the train wreck of a hangover that would come from a few goblets of these.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I respect this guy's opinion. Let's read the commercial description. It has a rich, complex fruit aroma of cherries, golden raisins, peaches, and assorted dry fruit. Laced with honey and caramel. Smooth, rich flavors reminiscent of cherries dipped in caramel. Finishing with notes of dried chocolate, roasted almonds, and a hint of molasses. Are you guys getting all that?
I'm getting some molasses.
Yeah, I'd say the molasses for sure. But I don't know about the cherries. Maybe.
I'm not getting cherry.
Okay, I just did a translation of a Grand Cru, and it translates on Babelfish to Great Vintage.
Okay.
Okay. Which is a generic term,
yeah.
Right? Okay. Good enough. So it could mean anything. And I remember the other one was Premier Cru is also another one.
Okay.
So it's just a term. Means next to nothing. Kind of like, you know, barley wine is one of those that could encompass a lot of things. And so anyway.
Yeah, Grand Cru isn't a style, like Rick said a while ago.
No,
right?
it's just something that look what we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which designation. Of,
yeah, you don't want to throw it on any piece of crap that you do.
Yeah.
So, and this is, I guess, it's one that you would definitely want to call a Grand Cru. Very nice. Very nice beer. We're drinking it
in. What does the Brasserie? Is that the brewery?
Brasserie, I thought was Butcher. Or, God. Okay.
We're showing our ignorance.
Oh, we are. Never too old to learn on BigFoamyHead.com.
That's right. We try to educate as well as entertain.
Was it Brasserie de Rock?
No, just Brasserie.
Well, I'm curious, though. It'll all be the same sort of thing. And it means, are you ready for this? Brasserie des Rocks means brewery of the rocks. Brasserie means brewery. Okay. See, and you see Brasserie in France all the time.
I thought that was a brass shop.
Cafes.
Exactly. But this Brasserie des Rocks translates to brewery.
I thought that was a bra shop.
Yeah, I know. You would think
get my mind out of the gutter.
So, all right. So, all right.
Wikipedia says a brasserie is a cafe doubling as a restaurant with a relaxed setting which serves single dishes and other meals.
Okay.
Okay. Well, this, according to Babelfish, translated directly. Brasserie des Rocks. I knew that was plural. Brewery of the Rocks. Okay. Whatever. Here, I'm just translating Brasserie. Babelfish says brewery every time.
Okay.
Yeah, Babelfish also says had a C also for brewery.
Because
so.
I know they have that everywhere in France. They have brasseries. Yeah. Okay, well, we're just all up in the culture and shit. So to bring this down to a more topical level, We attended some holiday parties here, about 2 weeks back. And Rick, you went to yours out there in the wilderness, and Mike and I here in the lovely town of Collierville went to our parties that you used to go to. And we've got our reports. We each took our microphones along and got a little bit of insight into it. And yours was a little more beer-oriented because you went to your Croc party, right?
Right. That's the local homebrew club. It's K Grand Out Club. They've been around for about 10, 15 years. And it's a pretty Active Club. They do a big presentation during the GABF for the World Beer Forum. So, great bunch of guys. Fantastic homebrews. Kind of put me to shame. I'm realizing since I've been out here that I really got to step it up as far as my homebrewing quality goes. Because some of the stuff I had at that party was just fantastic. I mean, aged 4 or 5 years. You know, I don't keep a beer more than 6 months, so.
Oh, really?
Well, don't sell yourself short because you do some pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
You'd be really impressed with what these guys are doing. So I have a lot to learn from them, which is always good.
All right, so why don't we take a minute or two and listen to what you gained from your beer escapades at the Crock party.
I like that.
This is Rick, and I'm at the Crock Christmas party. I'm here with
Scott Jackson. I've been the presenter of the Crock Christmas beer tasting for the last several years at our Christmas party. So I'm about to talk about the beers we tasted tonight.
All right, we had an awesome selection, so congratulations on the pick that you did. Why don't we just go one by one through the bottles?
All right, the first one that I picked was the Samuel Smith's Winter Welcome, which is the first Christmas beer I ever remember trying. It's an English brewery, Samuel Smith's. If people are familiar with the microbrewery or import world, they know what it is. And what surprised me about tasting it now as opposed to tasting it 20 years ago was how bland it seemed. Going from Budweiser to this beer in 1983 was totally mind-numbing.
Well, that's a big step to go from Budweiser to Samuel Smith's, but now, I know you were commenting on the green glass versus the brown glass. They've gone back to the brown glass bottle. I believe that Samuel Smith's is one of the companies that uses specialized hop extract where they remove the components that are going to skunk, but I'm not certain about that.
Well, I had it a couple of years ago, and it was definitely skunked.
Okay.
But this year, there was nothing wrong with the beer. Matter of fact, we're kind of a little prejudiced because we were drinking some higher alcohol beers earlier, but it's a nice English-style beer. There's nothing outstanding about it. It's a little bit stronger than the normal beer, so that's why this is their winter welcome.
So we just ended up paying for the soup. We got the speech from the president of the Crock Club, and Crock stands for Keg Ran Out, and I guess it was Keg Club, Keg Ran Out Club.
Not the Keg Ran Out Club, not Crocs, but Keg Ran Out Club is what it stands for.
And amazingly, the Crock shoes that are all the rage in this country are made just down the road. So
we tried to get them as a sponsor. They weren't very interested since we're peas and they're big players.
Right. They're trying to maintain some kind of corporate image, although I think being fun beer drinkers would improve their image, not hurt it. All right, so where were we? We were at the Great Divide.
The second beer in the tasting was Great Divide Hibernation, which was actually inspired by the Samuel Smith's Winter Welcome. They've just taken it to another level. This one is about an 8% alcohol English winter warmer beer, and I've always been impressed by the maltiness and the almost toffee quality that it has, and this year some people commented that it almost has a coffee quality.
Right, I was getting a little coffee out of it.
Which is interesting because
I'm sampling it right now.
They don't do anything. They put no spices, no coffee, or anything into it. I've heard that they do a lot of kettle caramelization, so that may contribute to it. But it's a very—it's one of my most favorite Christmas beers, and it's always been consistent. And it actually is really good aged.
Now, Great Divide is one of our Colorado beers that I'm not sure that everybody has access to, but they are a fantastic brewery.
Yeah, they're around the country. They're not in everywhere, but they're several places. I was surprised a couple years ago when I found a bottle that had been in the basement for about a year, and it was awesome.
So it cellared very well.
Yeah.
All right, the next one's the big monster of the year. Just about everybody knows of it. It's the
It's a Celebration by Sierra Nevada. It's one of the original Christmas beers brewed by the microbrewery industry, and it's a hoppy IPA. And that was one of the, you know, original IPAs that were brewed when the microbrewing industry started getting kicked off in the 80s. And it's usually a little different every year. Some years better than others. This year I like it. I normally like it because it's hoppy. And it's just a hoppy IPA, and it's very good.
I noticed you're wearing a Sierra Nevada Celebration shirt, so you must kind of like the beer.
Yeah.
A lot of people either love it or hate it. I've had some friends say that they don't really like this one. It's good.
Some people say
it's,
it has a kind of metallic flavor to it, which they think is a detractor, but I think that's the particular hops they use.
Right. But they've been around for a long time. They're going to keep producing it year after year, I'm sure. And it's basically a celebration of hops, so you need to embrace that. The next one.
Next one is Bristol Winter Warlock, which is a Colorado beer. It's actually a Colorado Springs brewery. And it's pretty much up a straight oatmeal stout with a little bit higher alcohol. It's around 7 or 8%. And they've been producing this beer for quite a while, too, at least 10 years. And that is their Christmas beer.
I almost thought it was kind of pedestrian in the mix that we have tonight. You know, it was just kind of, it was a nice break from all the big ones.
Yeah, and it provides a different, you know, flavor. I matched it against the Sierra Nevada hoppy, light, you know, kind of lighter body beer. And they also make a glass that goes very well, similar to the Anchor Christmas glass, which we're going to talk about next. Because okay. Our Anchor Christmas was the next beer we had. And that was even an earlier Christmas beer than Sierra Nevada's, if I remember correctly. This one is by the people that make Anchor Steam, if you're not familiar with it, but it's probably available all over the country.
Right. You were talking about Fritz and his wife hand-select the spices every year?
Yes. That's pretty much their only hands-on thing they do with the brewery anymore at all, is select the spices for the beer every year.
So that's Fritz Maytag. Right.
And what they do is they also select a different tree for the label every year, put that on the label. It normally doesn't have anything to do with the beer. People thought tonight that the beer had some cloves, maybe mace, maybe some orange peel in it this year. They never disclose what the spices are, so it's fun guessing.
Right, I heard people throwing out nutmeg and allspice also as alternatives.
The mace is actually the ground nutmeg skin.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I thought it was, and it's kind of hard to tell. It could be nutmeg, but normally nutmeg to me, the actual shaved nutmeg, lingers a little longer on the tongue than this did.
It's certainly one of the more spicy beers that we had of the evening.
Yes, and the other thing they do is they make a glass every year that matches the label. It's a gold-rimmed pint glass, and I personally have glasses going back 15 years. I call them up every year and say I want to order the Christmas glass, and the last 4 or 5 years they know me just by my voice, by saying, right. Oh, you're okay.
You're the guy from Colorado. Okay. Yeah. Well, fantastic. I'd love to see your collection sometime.
So the next beer in our tasting, we went to Belgium, and it's a Korsendonk Christmas Ale, and that is normally a pretty spiced Belgian-style Christmas beer, you know, Abbey-style Christmas beer, and this year it was kind of surprising because I pretty much only got one spice that I could taste out of it, which, considering the Belgians, there may be a whole lot of spices, and what their aim is that you don't taste any particular spice. But the one thing I got out of it, besides the maltiness and the warming alcohol, was star anise type flavor.
Yeah, I got some of those characteristics too. I probably attribute it to the yeast itself. Now, is Korsendonk, is that one of the Trappist breweries?
No, it's not a Trappist. It's an Abbey brewery.
Okay.
So they brew those types of beers, but they're not a Trappist brewery. They're a commercial brewery. And then the last one is also a Belgian beer, and usually it's one of my favorites when I can find it, and it's Delirium Noel. And this year it's normally a straight up Belgian double or quad style amber beer or brown beer. This year it's pretty high in alcohol, and we can tell that. It's a little hot right now. I think this would be a great beer to buy now and drink next Christmas.
Right, right. A lot of people are mentioning that. It's got the pink elephants on it and the very distinctive white bottle. We also have some wonderful homebrews tonight. We had your Saison de Poteron.
Yeah, that's in Flemish, I'm told, that's pumpkin Saison, which is what it is. And that's my Christmas beer, which is a 30% pumpkin of the fermentables beer with maple syrup and honey and the pumpkin pie spices, but this is fermented with Saison yeast. So there's kind of a double spicing if you count the yeast as a spice. It's got the peppery, fruity quality of the Saison yeast plus the pumpkin pie spice, which I kind of purposely put in the background.
Yeah. It's a wonderful beer. So is that your own formulation? Did you decide to do the syrup and the honey together?
Yeah, it started, and I still do this, as my Thanksgiving beer, which was my pumpkin beer. And it's pretty much the same recipe, except I used the East Coast Ale yeast with it. So okay. It's a straight-up, I call it a straight-up pumpkin beer, if there's such a thing. But since I got to deal with all this pumpkin in the mash, which is 30% pumpkin, and it's gummy and hard to deal with, I said, well, I might as well do 10 gallons.
Might as well.
So I split the batch up and ferment half of it with the East Coast Ale yeast, and that's the Thanksgiving beer.
So what's your distribution?
It's just my friends in Colorado.
Okay, so you have to be a Scotch friend in Colorado in order to get some of that. We also had a really good Santa Claus clone tonight. That went through three different yeasts, I believe, to get up to 16% alcohol. And then there was another one that Rombo brought. That was supposed to be a Doppelbock, but I think he threw like five different yeasts in there to get to the final gravity that he was looking for.
Yeah.
We've just had a really fantastic evening of sampling beers. And Scott, I appreciate your selections for the Christmas ales. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Go Navy.
All right. Go Navy.
I sure do love this big brown beaver, and I wish I did have a pair.
you may have recognized that song, a little Primus action there, Winona's Big Brown Beaver, and you're asking yourself, self? Why were they playing Primus Big Brown Beaver? And it's because we are enjoying a Winona's Big Brown Ale.
Man, yeah.
Courtesy of our pal at shouldidrinkthat.com, Sick Puppy.
And cheers to you, sir.
Cheers to you.
And cheers to you.
And this segment is dedicated 100% to Sick Puppy. Because not only is he a good friend of the show, he has hooked us up every which way. He sent us the Winona's Big Brown Ale, which, what was the most remarkable thing about this beer?
The head.
The head.
I mean, if you're looking for a lot of head, and who isn't, this is a beer for you. My God, it pours a head and a half. And Rick, I don't know what you're using. We're using like these red wine glasses so we can get that smell and all of that, and it's just a monster head on this.
I'm using the swanky Sam Adams bottles, or glasses.
Yeah.
And when I poured it, initially it was foam from the top to the bottom and overflowing.
And I am not really a brown ale. I'm not a fan of color beers. But, man, this is just through the roof. It's got a lot of, got to have a lot of specialty grains, a lot of roastiness to it, and chocolate. And,
it does. It has some right on the side of the bottle.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
It's got Maris Otter 2-Row, brown malt, Karistan, Crystal Lady, chocolate malt, and hops are Columbus, Simcoe, Amarillo, Northern Brewer, and it's 3.8 degrees Plato.
Man, it's everything you want right there in a bottle. I am really, really liking this beer.
What's the ABV on
it? I really like
it?
The hop selection.
You know, I don't know. I didn't look. And I don't think the bottle says what the ABV is on it. Let's see if we're going to go to the brewer website, which we had up looking for marketing speak. And they don't really have a whole hell of a lot of marketing speak either on it. It just says it's a robust brown ale, and it's got squat. We don't know. We don't know what the ABV on it. And, of course, looking at the bottle, the back of the bottle, why did they name it Winona's Big Brown Ale? Well, I love the song, the band, and their darn beaver. It made me want to make a beer in its honor. Generous amounts of brown malt and Maris Otter malt make you want to love this ale. I guess an otter is sort of like a beaver. We hopped this ale with Simcoe Amarillo Northern Brewers to enhance the flavor and the aroma of Winona for your enjoyment. So get down with the brown.
Get it on.
Now, this is a very tasty beer, and Sick Puppy, thank you for sending this. And that's not all he sent. Once again, and the nominations continue. We're going to have to wind it up here in the next couple of days because we're coming to the end of the year. The sexiest beer alive for 2007, and Sick Puppy has sent in his nomination. Here it is.
Hey, everyone. This is Sick Puppy from ShouldIDrinkThat.com with my pick for Big Foamy Head's Sexiest Beer segment. When I need to push my date through the fence, my choice is Dogfish Head's Chateau Jiahu, inspired by a beverage found in clay pots in China around 9,000 years ago. Hey, shut up back there. I'm trying to talk. Anyway, in keeping with historic evidence, Dogfish brewers used pre-gelatinized rice flakes, wildflower honey, muscat grapes, barley malt, hawthorn fruit, and chrysanthemum flowers. The sweet liquid was pitched with a fresh culture of sake yeast. It pours out a hazy golden opaque with a little light dusting of a head on it. Smells very white and winey, green grapes, a bit of honey. Smells sexy. Sheer pleasure. All right, Brittany Shears. Get your ass on over here. We're about to get busy. Oh, yeah.
So, the, and I can't even say the name of the beer. The, I want to say like Qingdao or something, but it's the Jiazhu, the, I mean, you just said it. That beer, the Dogfish Head Chinese beer. The, the antique beer that they came up with. I've not had it.
I think we had it at JBF.
Yeah, but I was drunk.
Right.
I don't recall.
That's all part.
Hey, after the old style, it was all over with for me. So.
In the PBR.
So, what do you recall of it?
It was black, if I remember right. It tasted very sweet. Had a whole bunch of different type of adjuncts. I think it kind of had some honey and stuff.
Yeah, and he mentioned the gelatinized brown rice and the hawthorn fruit, which is apparently a non-existent fruit now, and they have to substitute things to make it. I read up, this is one of those beers that was wrote up in Discover channel and their website.
Hmm.
And it's supposed to be just a really super weird beer. And, of course, as he mentioned, you know, when he's ready to push his date through the fence.
That was pretty good.
Okay, so good nomination from Sick Puppy. And it just keeps coming from him. Man, he has just hooked us up every which way. He has sent us a nice book. That's where that came from. And this is a cookbook, Cooking with Beer. It's in the shape of a beer can. And it's for people who are just totally impaired. It's got pictures. Here's what you put into it. Here's what it's supposed to look like.
Well, you know, most people say they read Playboy for the articles, but I read it for the pictures.
Well, this is your kind of cookbook. Then it's got articles and pictures, but it's got a lot of good recipes. All of them involving beer. So very nice.
Well, I love the fact that if you've been drinking and trying to figure out what to cook, you know, it's just got the ingredients right there and little pictures going down the side of the page.
Yeah.
You know, like this one has some cheese in it and some ranch dip and some onions and a beer. Okay, that looks good. Let's make that. Beer cheese dip.
Here's one for you, Rick's Good as Gold Chili. You're obligated.
Right.
You're obligated to make it. And it's a chicken chili. But all kinds of good stuff. This is one of my favorite things, mussels in beer broth.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Steam you some mussels and some beer. What a great idea.
Yeah.
The only thing is it doesn't really stipulate what type of beer. It just says beer. Every so often it'll say use a stout. Here's one, spicy ale shrimp. And this is where I appreciate the gift very much so. But this says spicy ale shrimp, 3 bottles Pilsner beer.
Hmm.
Say, well, come on now. Let's pick us an ale and say go with that. Do I want some with a lot of hops, a little hops, etc.?
Yeah.
But great stuff. And this is one of the things that I think in this coming year we got to do a lot more of. We got to do a little more cooking with beer.
Cooking with beer.
Yeah, it says so right there. Beer, it's not just for drinking. Add it to these great tasting recipes, and you'll discover that it makes a wonderful ingredient too.
All right. Look at those ribs on the back.
That's some good-looking ribs on
they
the back
there.
They do look good. So, hell, buy for the pictures. Nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sick Puppy has really hooked us up, and, man, we sure appreciate it.
It's gone above and beyond. Thank you, sir.
And I guess we should mention, though, that if you want to hear some of the episodes of Should I Drink That, as well as a whole bunch of other podcasts, and go to Beer Safari. .com. We're all there. We've got the holiday video. We've got multitudes of beer shows. Check it out, beersafari.com. So we've got more stuff coming up. And coming back with the third segment, we're going to finish up our Winona's Brown Ale. And what were we saying about this?
I'm getting chocolate taste. It's kind of hard to drink because the head's in the way. You know,
yeah.
You kind of have to.
My head settled down. And I'm getting nothing but chocolate and roast malt. Man, I'm enjoying the hell out of this. And I don't usually care for brown ales. I'm enjoying this.
I like it when I put it in my mouth, but when I swallow, the aftertaste, it ain't me.
You know, if that was taken in a completely different context,
God we're on a beer show.
It's a good thing I can see you drinking a beer.
Yeah,
it's fairly dry. I'll give you that.
Very dry.
I like, it's a dry finish, mm-hmm. but
it's not leaving any sweetness on
there. Like, I just poured a little bit more, and I got 1 inch of beer and a 2.5 inch head. And that's what she said. So,
that's what she
good
said.
Stuff. Good stuff. From Voodoo Brewery. With a name like Voodoo, How can you go wrong? How can you go wrong?
Out of Meadville, Pennsylvania.
There you go. Right. That's right. That's from Should I Drink That Country up there in PA. So let's take a break. We'll come back. A little Junior Parker and Mystery Train.
Train I ride, 16 coaches long. Train I ride, 16 coaches long. Well, that long black train carried my baby from home. It's gonna do it again.
Junior Parker and the Blue Flames, and that's technically local artist. We're trying to get more local artists in. That was from an original Sun recording, which Junior, he recorded that, and it's a very nice kind of haunting melody, and was later done by this no-account guy, Flash in the Pan Elvis. You may have heard of him, maybe not. He sang it and scored, of course, huge. that was a little Memphis flavor for you. And we got some more Memphis flavor coming up. We had our holiday party here in the town of Collierville, Rick's former hometown here.
The hood.
Collier Vegas?
Yeah.
You know what we call it now? Yeah, boy. So it was kind of interesting. A little different twist, and Mike, you were involved in planning this, right?
Yeah, we ended up making it like a poker run where you drew a card at every house, and then you paid $10 per hand to get in, and the winning hand at the last house took the pot, or half the pot, and I think they donated half the pot to your favorite charity.
Yeah, right.
And pot meaning money, not, right. You know, not marijuana.
Good stuff.
Yeah. but it was a really good time, and it gave us an opportunity to try some different beers and get some people in the neighborhood involved that drink beer with us and brew beer, and so we got a little of their commentary on tape, and you'll hear a little bit about it right now.
So we're at the neighborhood Christmas party. This has been a traveling Christmas party, right?
That's correct.
What do you call this? It's like a poker run, except there's no motorcycles involved.
Yep.
We've gone from house to house, drawing a card, and at each house, there's been the odd little food or festive drink. We had a pear martini at one.
and butter rum.
Hot buttered rum and yep. another. But at all of the houses, several of us have been bringing beers.
Yes.
And enjoying a good beer. Well, so now we're at Mike's house. He got suckered into being a host.
Yes.
Somehow. And Tom's next stop. He's the last stop, but not least stop. It's only going to go downhill from
you
there.
Know, the thing,
that's when the fights break out.
You know, when we looked at doing this, we said that we didn't want to be last because we'd have to be running people out at 3 a.m.
Yeah,
know?
And that's when the cops show yeah. up, as usual. So, yeah. So Mike, you brought back some beer, and I had a couple of beers earlier. We're going to get to them, but this one is a turn for the hops.
Yep.
Tom's been drinking a hop beer. What were the two big beers you were drinking? The
Whitetail and a Celebration Ale.
And the Celebration Ale, mixed reviews by some of our friends, but overall, a super hopped up beer. You love the hops.
I don't get a whole lot of hop out of it. I mean, I get a hop out of it, but I don't get an IPA hop out of it.
But you said the other beer you had was a lot hoppier. What was that?
Whitetail.
Whitetail.
White Hawk
from Mendocino Brewing. Yeah. All right, so Mike brought a growler back. What is this from?
Blackstone Brewery up in Nashville, Tennessee. And they won an award with that beer, too. I think at the
GABF. Yeah.
I believe that's where it was.
Well, it's got a great nose on it, and I immediately got a lot of the hops, that kind of citrus clean smell.
Yeah, good finish. Doesn't linger a whole lot and wear you out. It's not overpowering. I think it's just a really good all-around beer.
Tom, you've been drinking hopped up beers all night. What do you think about this?
This right here?
Yeah.
It's got a decent nose. So not as heavy as the hops as a regular IPA, but it's good.
Yeah, it's American. American.
So it's American. An APA.
Yeah,
They're not claiming to be an IPA.
Right.
Not that there's a lot of distinction. I mean, this is still a hopped up. I mean, it's got a lot of hop notes.
Yeah.
But I don't think. Do you know what the alcohol by volume is?
I think it's 6%.
Yeah,
think.
It seems a little light.
Yeah.
It doesn't really drink heavy. So I think it's kind of hopped up. And an IPA, I think the ones you're drinking are like 7, 8%. Getting on up there.
I think it's under 6.
So we're on to our second beer that we're tasting. And this, what is this, Mike?
This is a Blackstone. It's their porter that they make in Nashville, Tennessee. And let's see, it's called St. Charles Porter.
Okay. It's got a great taste. It's almost like a stout. And Greg, you're trying this. You said, what did you just say? You don't really drink beer?
I don't drink beer very often, so when I taste something like this, I can really, it seems like it's really, I don't know, I can taste a lot more of the beer. It's a lot of flavor. This is a tremendous amount of flavor. It's deep than I normally wouldn't taste.
Yeah. I'm getting a lot of coffee. A lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee. I like it. It's got a good, it's got a kind of a crisp type finish, and it's it doesn't really linger a lot. So it's
very clean.
Quick.
Very clean.
Clean and kind of dry, I guess, maybe.
This is really a lot like a stout to me. This is where those porters kind of like straddle a line there.
Okay, yeah.
But now this has got a good rich taste, and then it, like you said, clean finishes. Mm-hmm. Got a little tiny coffee up. This is like some, I could drink this in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to go with eggs.
Kind of reminds you of a Starbucks or something, you know. It's pretty good.
That's exactly what it is. But no fizz. Not much of a head. Very little head.
You know, I had my dad with me when we went to the restaurant, and they have the little platter you can pull out, and it's a sampler. And they bring you 6 or 7 beers.
Yeah, like a little beer flight.
Yeah. And so we did that, and then he kept going back to that porter just drinking it and drinking it. So I said, well, I'm going to have to get a growler of that. And I like the APA. That was my favorite.
Yeah,
APA.
That's good hoppy beer. And this is kind of a nice hallmark of a brewery. They're going to have something so completely different and distinct from the porter.
They had an oatmeal stout, which was really good, but it had a lot of alcohol to it. I mean, it was much higher in alcohol content, and so I stayed away from it. But the porter's really good. I'm real happy with it.
We're on to our third beer that we've had.
Third beer.
And this is the Magic Hat Jinx, a seasonal release, and it's a peat smoked beer. And this is one that could go either way.
Either one.
I had this, the first time I had this, I'd had way too many beers, and I wasn't sure. Oh, I like it. It's eat up with smoke. What do you think?
I think it's not really eat up, but it's
I don't get a lot of smoke, but do you get smoke? What do you think?
I taste smoke.
So you taste smoke?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a lot of smoke. What are you getting?
I don't know. I mean, let me take another sip. So y'all talk.
Taste a penis in your mouth. It's a peat. It's a peat smoked.
I don't taste any peat, but I taste the smoke.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
The, so,
Mike, now tell me honestly, do you feel the penis in your mouth?
No, I do not feel that. And,
there's a pronounced penis. Peatness.
The peatness is a medium to me.
Really?
Really, to me. I mean,
I got a lot of smoke and a little bit of spice undertones.
Maybe the APA and the porter that I had earlier is canceling. Some of the food I've had tonight is canceling a lot of that, but I just don't get it.
Well, the last beer I was drinking on was the Blackstone APA. So I had some hops before I got to it. And
you're still getting a lot of smoke?
I am. All right, Tom, what are you getting?
I feel the smoke. I don't taste the peat. What else is in there?
There's some spices and things. Is this like overwhelming smoke? Or are you getting...
No, it kind of makes you think like you're on a camper trip, you know?
Yeah, good. I see that too. Yeah, it does.
I'm just not getting it. And I mean, beer is subjective, and I'm not getting it.
Well, that's true. That's true. Everybody's got different palates and stuff.
I don't know that I would drink a six pack of this at a sitting. But
no, I wouldn't either.
And I wouldn't run across the street.
But it's an interesting sort of aside to a beer.
Yeah, I wouldn't run across the street to buy it at all. But it's not bad overall. It's definitely. I'd have to be in the mood to want to drink this beer.
So that was kind of the gist of it. We ran out of battery after it got worse, though. It was a good thing probably that we did run out of battery. But we had some really nice beers, and one of the ones, though, that we had, the Magic Hat from they're offering the Jinx beer. That one, I think I said, maybe not on what we played, but earlier, it's like, I don't know what I think about it. It's mm-hmm. so overwhelming with flavors, but not beer, right? Not beer flavors. It was spicy and, God, it was just like over the top almost. So that's what we're going to have to come back and revisit again. This whole thing about winter warmers and beers that what I had brought to the party were really interesting. They're not typical of the types of beers. They're really... Whereas like a Grand Cru, like we had earlier, is the brewer's best. The winter warmers is a whole nother. Let's see what all ingredients we can mix up, right? Mm-hmm. And unlike the Celebration Ales and some of the things that Sierra Nevada kind of sneaks in and screws with you, some of the ones that we have are really malty, spicy, just different kind of beers. And you say you woke up with a really bad head.
Oh, man, I was... It took me all day to get over that. Really did.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever drank that many different items in one night.
That means you had a good time.
Oh, I did. I enjoyed the night. But I paid for it.
See, I didn't have a bit of problem.
Really?
No, hell no. I felt good. I think I got up, exercised or something. So this is the season. And you've got just a certain ambience, and Rick, being the literary giant that he is, has pulled a special selection from our dear friends at BeerHaikuDeli.com to share with us.
Cute music, big foamy head, interpretive dance, theater represents Beer Haiku Daily from Captain Hops. Today's entry is Relax. Curled up in my chair with kitty and smoked porter, the fire crackles. Beer Haiku Daily.
Class. Culture.
Yeah. Pussy and porter, how can you go wrong?
Yeah, there it is.
Captain Hops was just featured, I think, in Zymergy. So,
He was. He was. I got that magazine.
Yeah, he's making some national attention.
He's doing good, but he is taking beer and really just putting it out there in an art form. And he
lets us steal his material.
Yeah, we applaud nice that. BeerHaikuDeli.com.
Is Captain Hops going to be the Grand Cru of beer literature?
He is. Since cool. he's the only one, he therefore by default is the Grand Cru. So we've got, speaking of beer literature, we have got some more. And going into our, as always, segment, beer
you
news.
You have something to promote, right?
Yeah, we've got some beer news.
It's time for Big Foamy Head Beer Witness News, the latest breaking, hop-hitting, no-holds-barred coverage of the malt and barley world. Sit back, crack a cold one, and get ready for...
This is an A1 four-alarm red, white, and blue alert.
Beer News.
Chick Beer Round 2. People who appreciate a good beer often refer to light, fruity beers as chick beers, i.e. something the fairer sex might enjoy. Even though us manly men enjoy them too... Tomorrow marks a new spin on the term chick beer. When 19-year-old English entrepreneur Harriet Easton launches Harry's Beer at a bar in Shrewsbury, the beer concocted by Harriet and brewed by Hanby Ales of Wynn is described as light with a touch of orange. Alrighty then. A few things jump out at me on this story. Her age, the cost of this startup venture, and the media tie-in to the crisis of drinking in the UK. First, she's 19 years old. From media reports, she's been working on this for 18 months, which means she was 16 and a half when she started. This seems a bit off, so I looked into the drinking age in the UK. Apparently, it's against the law to give alcohol to a child under 5. But if you're over 5, it's legal and accepted to give your kid a cocktail in your own home. Children under 16 are allowed to drink, but not purchase alcohol bought by a parent or guardian. Once you hit 16, you can buy a beer with a meal, and when you're 18, off you go. So Harriet could have been drinking for years. I'll go along with that for a minute.
That was it?
Hang on.
Are you getting all verklempt?
Yeah, I'm getting verklempt.
There's a little a tear in your eye.
No, I just wish I was born over there. Okay, here we go. Now she hits on the idea at age 16 and a half that she could do better than the beer for blokes, and apparently suckers a friend of a family into loaning her £35,000.
Yep.
Or roughly 71,000 US, and takes it, and it takes her a year and a half to come up with an orange flavored 4.8% beer. It's amazing what one can do with money. Finally, The Guardian Unlimited runs an article tying this beer to the decline in pub beer sales in the UK, the lowest they've been in 70 years. You are left to connect the dots and figure out Harry's Beer will save the day by getting the girls into the pubs. So forget about your smoking ban, the rise of at-home drinking, and other trivial matters that affects pub sales. Let's just relax and let the kids save the pubs.
All right. So I wanted to hear you read that.
Why?
Because I wrote it. I just wanted to see how it sounded.
It read pretty good.
Yeah, it came out all right. Okay, and that is from, like Rick alluded to earlier, I'm pimping something. This is a soft pimp. It's going to be real hardcore pimp, the next one. I've started a new blog/podcast called Beer News Radio.
What were your responses to this one so far?
I have gotten responses, believe it or not. Well, the first thing is Yaya Beer Fest responded and said, "You make some interesting points, but I'm not completely sure what you're actually trying to prove with this blog. Are you for or against it? Also, your math is terrible," which is correct in the Big Foamy Head tradition where we don't give no never mind to ciphering and such. I was off by a year. She was apparently 17 or so.
Okay.
But, yeah. But anyway, I said, I responded saying, yes, my math sucks. I was off by a year. My point should have been clearer, but wasn't. I'm all for new beers and women enjoying them. It seems that, though, that there was this fawning by the press that connected two dots that didn't really connect, i.e., she was going to save the beer sales in the pub. And that ain't going to happen with one new beer. So I suppose I was in a cynical mood and should have congratulated her on her new beer. Hope it does well for her. And we get a new burst of beer aficionados. Thanks for your comment. And Mike, you see the date on that post?
December 28th.
Okay, December 28th. So slightly after Christmas. And the reports are coming in. It has been launched. A couple of folks went down to the pub there in Shrewsworth, I think it was, and tried it, and it's favorable. Very favorable. They're serving it in half-pint glasses, too, which is kind of interesting because the women come in there, and they don't want to just get, you know, shit-faced, knockered, falling down everywhere, and they've got, like, these little half-pints. And so the guys are trying to – they want to try it, but they don't want to commit to a whole pint. And so it's kind of this blurring of the gender line, so to speak, and they're trying this. And so my whole thing on this is I think it's very cool that we've got a new beer, that we've got women being introduced to it. I just got a little bit of curiosity about how this 19-year-old girl spent 18 months. That's a year and a half. And by my distorted math, I said 16 and a half is really 17 and a half. Where in the hell did she get $70,000 to come up with this, right?
Evidently, she has been making this stuff for a while.
She has.
And probably whoever was drinking it liked it and realized there was a moneymaker
there.
Well,
and actually, this is her second beer. She started before. So I got to give a lot of props to this girl who, hell, you know, she got people behind her. Yeah. I mean, you got to give her that.
Well, I want to rip the response. I mean, who's to say you got to be for or against it? I mean,
well, and it was a question, though. And as it turned out, I got another response that hasn't been posted yet, and this is from a lady in the UK who appreciated my responding. So all of that being said, it's a very cool, you know, the thing that I found kind of odd about it, though, was that in the media, there's a decline in pub sales. In the first time in 70 years in the UK. The UK, when you think about going to get a beer in the UK, you know, you've got this whole mental image, right, of going in and here's all these people sitting around the pub hoisting a pint or two. I mean, it's like everybody thinks this is like happy beer time. You've got this whole mental image. Well, the reality is sales have dropped.
Yeah, big time.
Big time. And there's a lot of reasons for it. And they kind of overhyped this, playing on the novelty of it. I guess I take a little exception at the novelty aspect. Okay, it's a woman, a young girl, 19, making a beer. Congratulations. You're not the first woman. Not at all. I mean,
it'd be interesting, and I'm going to ask the guy I work with. He is from the UK, and I want to ask him. My question would be, when people drink over in the UK, do they go to a pub or do they go to the store, buy a six pack or a couple of bottles and take it home?
Good question. And the trend seems to be more at home drinking. Yeah. And that's where it's like, this is what Rick, you know, you were talking earlier about the hop shortage. Depending on how you look at things, is this really a problem? Is this really like a scare? Okay, pub sales are declining, but are beer sales overall declining? No, not at all. People are just not going to the pubs anymore in the UK. Okay, well, I mean, okay, social aspect aside, you know, we're all busy these days. But congratulations to Harriet and to her beer. And soft pimp plug here. Check out the new blog, beernewsradio.com. It's that easy.
Dick, you're fortunate that advertising time on Big Foamy Head is still reasonable.
It is. I cut a deal.
You know the proprietor, right?
I know a guy or two that works there. So.
Yeah, okay. So you can promote away.
But, yeah, it's a soft launch. I wanted to make sure I was going to stick to it. And, obviously, if I got people responding from the UK, I'm kind of obligated.
Hey, Rick, Dick said the check was in the mail, so it ought to be there any day. Huh?
There's a little something extra in your check this week.
I'll buy some of that recording equipment that we have.
There you go.
So this is a chick beer for chicks by chicks. It's a FUBU for
women. FUBU. Here you go. But, you know, that's okay. Hell, man, bring them on.
More the merrier.
Yeah, that's right. And it, you know, introduces people. We've talked to people over the years who, women who are really into beer. And why not?
I wonder why she named it Harry's Beer.
Because her name's Harriet.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. You can never have enough orange flavored
beer. Well, why not call it Harriet's?
I guess that's her nickname, Harry's Beer. But
she must
whatever.
Be a hell of a tomboy, I guess. Huh?
Oh, she's got these cheesecake pictures too. That's the thing. I checked it out again to make sure, and yeah, she's a cute girl.
You're gonna put a link on the net.
Yeah, we'll put a little picture of Harriet up there for you to enjoy. And I'd love to try some of it, but it's only available in pubs
now. Not bottled. So
we may have to have a road trip.
I'm going to be over there probably in about 6 months.
Well, good. You're obligated then to try it out. Yeah. So good stuff and great beers. Thanks to Sick Puppy for hooking us up with Winona's Big Brown Ale, his cookbook, and his contribution to the Sexiest Beer Alive.
Yeah, and I guess you can look forward to the Big Foamy Head Winter Warmer show that might come out before spring in the classic Big Foamy Head style.
That's right. So maybe in summer, winter warmer. Well, we got a lot of beers on tap. We got a lot more coming here on the road to 100. We'll get there sooner or later. So, I'm spent. I got nothing else.
The road to 100 is a long road.
It is a long road, but you will reach it, Grasshopper. All right. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back and see us.
Train runs by my back door, whistle blowing a little after four. Oh baby, roofs falling down like rain. I can't eat and I can't sleep. Late at night I hear my guitar weep. Wait for you, baby. Falling down like rain. I never meant to let you go. God knows that I love you so. I never meant to do you no wrong. Before I knew it, you were gone, babe. Blue, blue, yeah. Tell our little girl that I love her so. I never meant to let you go. Sometimes a flower blooms when blues falls down like rain. I never meant to let you go. God knows that I love you so. I never meant to do you no wrong. Before I knew it, you